Super Soldier Drug Reactions and Other Engineering Failures. Written by Aggressive When Startled. Read by Quiet Knight. Natasha, we're in a very important meeting right now, James. James, good for you. Beside Natasha, Steve's phone buzzed face down on the table. After the last text, he hastily flipped the screen over and stared straight ahead, like he'd been caught talking in church. Clint nudged him with his elbow. "Better check that," he murmured. "Could be important." Everyone at the table pretended they weren't looking, as Steve hesitantly turned his phone over, blushed so hard his ears looked like they'd been boiled, and slapped it back down again. "Natasha, what I am saying, James, is that everyone knows what you're texting Steve." "James."
"Yeah? He's showing it around?"
"Natasha, like he needs to. This is Steve. He doesn't have a duplicitous bone in his body." "James."
"Sometimes he does."
Winky face. Steve's phone buzzed again, and he sat resolute for a whole 10 seconds before giving in and looking. Bucky was obviously good at what he did. Steve took a sudden mortified breath, and the screen cracked in his hand. Down the table at the Stark board, Tony had completely stopped going over the costs of repairs to the Quinjet. Now he was just spouting tech-speak gibberish on autopilot to keep up the background noise. "Natasha, it's funny because you mean your penis, just like every other joke you make." "James."
"Hey, watch him. I'm about to send a really dirty one."
Natasha glanced up in time to see Steve cover his mouth in shock, close his eyes, and drop his face into his arms on the table.
"Everyone here knows exactly what Bucky's doing, don't they?" he muttered despairingly.
Natasha patted him on the back.
"Didn't you guys decide no more of that stuff at work?"
Sam asked, frowning.
"I could swear you decided no more of that stuff at work."
Steve made a miserable noise.
"I didn't know what sexting meant when Bucky asked if it was okay," he admitted.
Sam raised his eyebrows in disbelief.
"What? What's Sergeant Barnes doing?"
Peter piped up from the far end. And with the mask, Natasha honestly couldn't tell if he was unbelievably naive, willfully blind, or just being a little shit.
"What's going on?"
"Nothing," Steve groaned.
"I'm not giving you this talk, kid," Sam told Peter. "Go home and ask your trusted adult."
"I'm 17, Peter complained. "Natasha, James, you are taking advantage of Steve's concern for you in order to embarrass him in front of his co-workers." "James,
everyone at that table except Spider Baby was drunk in my living room last week, watching Thor belt out single ladies in his underwear."
"James,
I'm not worried."
"Natasha, point.
Does anyone else think it's ironic that Richards calls Barnes Captain America's pet monster?" Tony asked the room at large. "You know, considering Barnes is the one leading Steve around by the dick. We're going to talk about respectful discussion of your teammates' significant others as soon as this meeting is finished," Steve ordered, head down still, but pointing a disapproving finger at Tony. "Is that going to be before or after we talk about sexting during team meetings?" Tony asked sweetly. "I want to make sure I schedule it all in."
"Is he just sexting words?" Clint asked. "Or is he sending, like, snapshots of his junk? 'Cause I could see it going either way."
Steve hit his head on the table a few times.
"I'm pretty sure all they do is hold hands,"
Peter assured them, stalwart in both his loyalty and his denial.
"It's probably just close-up photos of Sergeant Barnes's fingers."
Tony opened his mouth, and Rhodes clamped his hand tightly over it before he could get anything out.
"Nothing else is going to get accomplished here," Steve told the tabletop. "Meeting adjourned. I'll check my email on the plane. Just forward the notes for anything I'm going to miss."
"Right," Sam said, skeptical. "Because you'll be paying more attention on your vacation when Barnes is right next to you instead of on the phone."
Tony snorted. "The seat buckles are never going on in the first place, if they're not joining the Mile High Club."
Tony paused as Steve turned somehow even redder.
"Reaffirming their membership to the Mile High Club in the bathroom for the entire flight, I'll eat my hat."
"You don't wear a hat," Steve mumbled, unable to refute any other part of it. Tony took pity for once and didn't continue.
"Can I have a quick look at the sex?"
Clint begged.
"Not like at a really dirty one. I just have a bet going about how big..."
Please go away and stop talking about my boyfriend's penis, Steve told him.
In our defense, Clint pointed out, he started it.
New plan, Tony announced. We need to start making bets about how fast they're going to accidentally down their own plane. Booze and cards at 9 and 10.
Clint whooped, and everyone followed Stark to the door, clearly pretending they weren't planning their bet while Steve was still present.
Natasha glanced over her shoulder on her way out. Steve was still slumped over the table, phone in hand, but he was rereading his texts with a soft, dopey smile, face half ducked into the crook of one massive arm, blushing and happy. Natasha closed the door with a soft snick behind her.
Steve.
Hey, are you free?
Steve.
If you're at home and bored, you're welcome to come over.
Natasha glanced back up across the table, where Sam was just putting his phone away, and Stark was still complaining about losing his candy bar allowance for the week.
Natasha. I'm not into that kind of thing.
Steve.
What?
Sam, Natasha asked over her cards, did Steve just invite you over?
What? No.
Sam glanced at his phone.
Shit, yes? Probably. That was probably 90-year-old martyr speak asking me over. What? What do you know?
He asked me over too, she mused, tapping her cards on her chin thoughtfully.
No, guys, you will regret it, Clint said, wearing nothing but his underwear. They weren't even playing strip poker. He was just that bad at cards. And I finally have a good hand. You can't just leave. Steve and Barnes are heading out on their super romantic tour of historically significant architecture tomorrow morning. No way are either of them wearing clothes. You'd be leaving all of this just to sit there awkwardly while they make out with each other.
Natasha glanced around at the mess of half-drunken Avengers, empty beer bottles, and upended snack bowls, then looked pointedly at Clint's Mickey Mouse underwear.
All of this, Clint repeated, gesturing with his beer.
Stark nodded. It's going to be a complete fucknalia over there. Barnes is probably helping Steve pack his shit for the trip right now.
When Natasha didn't laugh, he clarified.
That was innuendo. It means, we got it,
Rhodes said.
We get every other joke you make about him, too. We get him because you talk about Steve making time even more than Barnes does.
Okay, but look, Tony said. Did I tell you about the kitchen thing?
Yes,
Rhodes cut him off.
Sam's phone chimed, and after a quick glance he stood up.
No, he said slowly as he typed back. Of course, Natasha and I are free. We'll be.
I have been spying on your texts over your shoulder all night. You don't need to dictate them to include me.
Natasha scooped the winnings she wanted to keep into her purse, then handed Clint's disgusting jeans back to him with a sigh. Clint brightened and pulled them on.
You've been doing the same with my cards,
Sam shot back, sliding his phone away and grabbing his jacket.
Don't think I haven't noticed. I've just been being polite.
Thanks, Natasha said. My bank account appreciates it.
Enjoy your super awkward foursome,
Stark said peevishly, rocking back in his chair. Rhodes rolled his eyes and kicked him under the table.
Don't sit anywhere without checking it first. Now you're just being gross,
Sam told him sternly.
Have a good night, guys. Text us if Tony comes up with a topic of conversation that's not Steve.
They're weird as hell, Wilson.
When they got to Steve's apartment, there was no sign of James, and Steve was in full-on dither and sulk mode. He stood abruptly, flipping a sketchpad closed and pretending he wasn't standing in a sea of broken drawing pencils, full mugs of cold coffee, and broken exercise equipment. There was probably a pile of leaking sandbags in the downstairs gym, too.
Hi. Steve scratched the back of his neck. I hope I didn't interrupt anything. It was just if, you know, if you were free and wanted to hang out.
Steve?
Sam blurted, concerned.
Where's James? Has something happened?
No.
Steve lied, looking shifty.
Everything's fine. I just thought we don't spend enough time together.
Okay.
Sam said slowly.
Sure, let's spend time together. Hey, you know what I really like to do with my friends during time together? Talk about the fights they had with their boyfriend right before the really big trip they've been planning for months.
I don't, Natasha said, and Sam elbowed her in the ribs.
We didn't have a fight, Steve insisted. Things have been really good, since the dog thing. Really good. We've gotten stuff really figured out, I just...
He sighed and sat back down on the couch. He's spending a lot of time with Peter recently.
Steve ran his hands through his hair, smearing streaks of graphite through the blonde.
Natasha and Sam exchanged a look.
So you're feeling jealous of Peter Parker,
Sam said, making sure to keep his tone even and non-judgmental.
You're jealous of a 17-year-old who can't tie his shoelaces without accidentally insulting the president and getting attacked by his mutated geography teacher, Natasha said, making no such efforts.
No, Steve insisted. Okay, look, yes, sure I'm jealous, but that's not...
You're jealous of Peter Parker, Natasha clarified. The boy who thought it would be a good idea to stop a moving train by standing in front of it. The same one who showed up for his internship interview 4 hours late and covered in mud, and tried to convince me he'd been hit by a rogue shovel from his neighbor's refencing project.
That kid has a lot of struggles, Sam said kindly, but I'm not sure an affair with Bucky, have you heard I'm sleeping with Steve Rogers, Barnes, is one of them.
That's not what I said, Steve insisted, voice rising. But look, they're hanging out now.
Okay, that's kind of weird, Sam agreed. Seeing as how it's like 9 o'clock and you're both leaving for your romantic getaway in the morning. But, dude, you have nothing to worry about. That man is never going to cheat on you.
Again, Natasha allowed, having heard Bucky's pre-war stories.
Again, Sam said, having heard Steve's, and glared at Natasha. Now that Barnes isn't trying to make it up to God and society every time he kisses you on the cheek, you'll be fine.
All his self-hatred is completely based in Hydra violence now, Natasha explained, and he gives them the finger every time he gives America a blowjob. It's why he does it so publicly and enthusiastically.
Also because he loves you, Sam said, elbowing her again.
Right, that too.
I didn't ask you over to reassure me that Bucky isn't sleeping with a teenage subordinate behind my back, Steve gritted out. I could just use some company, and Bucky's been kind of weird lately, and I thought if you had some time I could see you before we left.
Sam looked cowed, but Natasha just raised her eyebrows.
Weird how?
Steve scrubbed at his face.
Weird like hanging up the phone suddenly when he hears me coming, leaving and not telling me where he's going, that sort of thing. Peter getting this deer-in-the-headlights look when I walk in sometimes, then laughing too loudly and talking about the weather. So yes, I'm feeling left out, and yes, I'm jealous of the time Bucky's spending with Peter, even though yes, I know I was nagging him nonstop about being nice to him for months, but it's fine.
Yeah, it looks fine, Natasha said, glancing around the apartment. Steve blushed. The door downstairs slammed, and Steve looked around the room, panicked, then started sweeping the evidence of his freakout into the closet.
Should we talk about the weather? Natasha murmured, and Steve kicked her in the ankle.
There was a heavy clomping on the stairs, some laughter, and then the door swung open on James holding Peter in a tight headlock. James seemed to be enjoying it a lot more than Peter was.
Hey,
James said, straightening. He took Peter's neck with him, and Peter made a strangled sound of complaint.
Company, how are you guys?
Concerned,
Sam answered, looking at Peter. Is he turning blue? Also, isn't it past his bedtime?
I'm 17, Peter wheezed.
Aw, Dad, oxygen deprivation builds character,
James teased, but let go. Peter dropped to his knees, gasping.
Anyway, we're just here for a second, and then I'm driving the kid home. I just need to get something first.
He headed for the bedroom, swerving on the way to loop an arm around Steve's waist and pull him up into a kiss. It was not a little kiss. James hefted Steve up against him, bent him over backwards, and sucked face like Steve was a nurse at the end of the war. Steve gave a groan that made Sam clear his throat and look away, but then James set him back down with a quick grope before ducking into the other room. Peter scrambled to his feet and followed.
Yeah, Natasha mused, pursing her lips and nodding. He seems pretty bored with you.
Shut up, Steve hissed, rubbing his mouth and blushing. That's not what I said, and all the soundproofing is on the outside walls. The inside ones are like paper.
He wasn't wrong. Even Sam could hear the conversation going on in the bathroom, judging from the way he was grimacing and trying not to smile.
Just weird is all, Peter was saying. Why do you guys have baby wipes in the bathroom? Why do you think we have baby wipes in the bathroom?
James asked, shuffling something around and dropping it with a loud clank.
I don't know,
Peter pressed.
That's why I asked you.
Natasha turned and grinned at Steve, who dropped his head into his hands and gave a long-suffering sigh.
I'm gonna let you think about that,
James said, bemused.
I'm gonna let you figure out all on your own why two men who have a lot of sex with each other might want to get their asses really clean.
What?
Said Peter.
Oh, God, what? No, Sergeant Barnes, you're ruining my childhood. Why?
Pretty sure it's not my fault Steve likes it when you put your tongue up his ass.
James returned, and Steve stood up abruptly and pounded on the wall. James snorted and said,
You was in the abstract, you. I doubt he'd let you personally.
Bucky!
So very tired of you, Natasha drawled, taking her time on it. Steve gave her a poisonous glare, but she'd weathered much worse in her line of work. I can see why you're so jealous of Peter. James is definitely cheating on you with him.
That's not what I said, Steve whispered furiously. You what?
James asked, popping his head around the doorframe. He looked simultaneously appalled and bewildered.
You think I'm what? With Parker?
Sir, Peter said, clinging to the top of the doorframe and peeking under at them, voice pitched high with horror.
Sir, I swear to you, I have no sexual designs on Sergeant Barnes. You have my word, sir.
That's not what I said, Steve shouted at the room at large, throwing his hands in the air with frustration.
I said I wanted to hang out. I said I was a little lonely and just wanted to hang out.
Natalia, James said, looking grave.
Natasha smirked.
I need you to take Parker home for me. I have to stay here and pay attention to Princess.
I've changed my mind, Steve said, giving up and going to hide in the kitchen. Everyone go home and leave me alone.
I should have seen the signs,
James continued, face creased with concern.
If I don't do something quick, pretty soon he'll start chewing my gear and pissing in my shoes.
I was a dog for less than one day,
Steve griped. Natasha gathered up her purse, Sam, and Peter, and then headed for the door. Good luck, she told James, giving him a small smile as she shoved everyone into the hall. Have fun on vacation.
Thanks, James said cheerfully. Hopefully I'll be able to resist all the awkward teenage messes we'll run into on the trip. I don't know, though. Axe body spray, nervous stuttering, and an 8 o'clock curfew on school nights are such turn-ons.
That's not what I said.
I'm taking my cues from you, Sam told her once they'd made it to the sidewalk.
Soundproofing didn't do shit for open windows. They could still hear muffled complaining upstairs. Then a crash, and a long, lingering moan. Peter looked a little green.
I'm hoping I haven't just needled Steve about something that really needs discussion. It doesn't actually sound like he's wrong about something going on.
I know for a fact that this time tomorrow it will all be cleared up and Steve will not care about any of it, Natasha said dismissively.
Probably because he'll be having sex in the Eiffel Tower bathroom.
Sam agreed, and Peter plucked his ears and started singing.
Ma'am?
2 days later, Natasha's many skills were being wasted, hanging around the shield break room with a teenage disaster, who was dangling from the ceiling, bothering her about her mobile phone. Now that James was playing nice, and Spider-Man wasn't a complete tragedy over him anymore, they'd downgraded the firepower on his babysitters. This meant Tony got to go back into superhero retirement, and Natasha was picking up the slack. It wasn't too bad so far, except for how old he made her feel.
Ma'am, you've got... I think someone is trying to call you?
Yes, she agreed, not looking at her phone. It was blinking on the table in front of her, some ridiculous disco theme Stark had put onto it. She kind of liked it. And I'm ignoring them. But... Peter was wearing his Spider-Man suit, in case they got called in for an emergency, but his face was still weirdly expressive anyway. She could sometimes see how pinched and concerned he was, even completely covered in web spandex. But it's Director Fury, ma'am. I mean, it seems important.
Fury is learning a lesson about dealing with me, Natasha said shortly, and went back to examining her fingernails.
The phone rang out a few more times, and then a text popped up. She glanced at it.
Fury. I'm sorry you're still pissed about need to know. Be in my office in 5 anyway.
Fury.
That is, if you're still mother-henning those 2 suicidal army grunts, of course.
Natasha frowned and picked up her phone.
Spider-Man, if you even accidentally get a view of my cleavage from there, I am going to wrap you up in your own webs and leave you in the Russian wilderness, she muttered, texting back.
Natasha, on my way, Spider-Baby in tow.
Fury, oh hell, not him.
Ma'am, I would never,
Peter assured her.
I swear I am in no way interested in either you or Sergeant Barnes. You're both much older than me.
Natasha looked up from her phone and stared at the coffee maker.
Peter seemed to sense danger. I mean, I'm just really young, he tried.
He trailed off, lost.
Nope, I can't save it.
You were born to die from friendly fire, Spider-Man, Natasha told him, standing.
That's what Sergeant Barnes says, too,
Peter said cheerfully, and scuttled along the wall after her.
I didn't mean for any of this to happen, the man on the tape swore. It was just a job. I was just doing my job.
You're talking to Captain America, Sharon informed him. Natasha could only see her from the back, but she was still easily recognizable.
You were telling a man who fought the actual Nazis that you were just doing your job? You're not getting any sympathy. He wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire.
Don't worry, Bucky told him solemnly. I can help you out there if you need it.
Beside him, Steve smiled and immediately tried to cover it.
Agent Thompson froze the video and looked triumphant. It had turned out that Fury was in a meeting with some government spook that wasn't quite forthcoming about exactly what department he was from, but unfortunately had all the right paperwork from all the right people. They checked everything twice, and he was still there, which told Natasha that someone very high up actually had a grudge against Captain America, which was concerning. She couldn't just brush this one off. This meant that Natasha was now trapped in an enclosed room with Nick Fury and Peter Parker, while some slimy asshole with visions of heroism tried to convince her that Captain America was actually a double agent for Hydra. Natasha had been doing a lot of staring incredulously at people this week. It was like all the stupid was coming out of the walls at once.
Okay, hold on, Peter said, pointing at the laptop. I need to clarify. You're telling us that Sergeant Barnes has seduced Captain America to the dark side, to Hydra, the group he's given his life like 80 billion times to destroy?
The same Hydra that held, tortured, and brainwashed his other half into committing untold atrocities, Natasha added, eyebrows up, and that he now has to excuse himself from speaking about in news conferences for the sake of public decency.
That Hydra, Peter agreed. You think Captain America wants to do anything but burn them out and then stab sticks through their squirming remains because of an interrogation video where Sergeant Barnes says he actually would piss on a Hydra agent if he were on fire?
It's subtle, Agent Thompson assured them. I can see how you can interpret his words that way, but we can't expect anything less from the Winter Soldier.
When was this taken? Natasha asked. Around July 15th of last year, I'm betting.
That's sensitive information.
Thompson demurred after a surprised pause. It's definitely July 15th, Natasha confirmed, squinting at it. I'm not worried.
Sergeant Barnes actually pissed on an actual Hydra agent who was on fire on the 15th,
Spider-Man clarified.
I remember because Captain Rogers laughed before he yelled at him for it. Usually he's better about pretending he doesn't approve.
This is not, of course, our only evidence against Rogers, Thompson assured them. But you must understand a great deal of it is classified to protect our sources.
He means Richards, Natasha explained to Fury. The man was at an unsecured terminal while working on the dog thing.
Of course, Fury said, exasperated. Of course Stark thought that was a good idea. We have been staying abreast of the Rogers situation for a while,
Thompson explained, ignoring them entirely now and laying out a few printouts and snapshots.
But we're moving now because he has suddenly and drastically deviated from his approved itinerary.
Natasha and Fury sat up straighter.
You will note the timestamp on the photographs.
Thompson smiled, and Natasha wanted to deck him.
Captain Rogers is clearly not in New Mexico as planned.
You guys made Sergeant Barnes fill out an itinerary?
Peter burst out, appalled.
You made him fill out an itinerary for his sex vacation? Of course he lied about it.
Excuse me?
Fury asked, turning to look at him for the first time in the conversation.
Please, Peter frowned behind his mask. Has anyone been calling it anything else? You thought they were actually going to leave their hotel room the entire time?
You thought Sergeant Barnes was going to let Captain Rogers put on clothes to look at historic buildings?
Spider-Man, Fury said slowly, how about you go get us all some coffee?
I don't know, Peter sassed back. I wouldn't want to deviate from my approved itinerary. You guys might accuse me of colluding with the Martians.
Out, Fury snapped, and Peter scrambled out.
We are planning a surprise raid,
Thompson explained, after Peter slammed the door shut in protest.
If they have nothing to hide, there shouldn't be any problem.
You plan to ambush the Winter Soldier in...
Fury glanced at the photographs.
In a lake house in Humptalips, Washington, just to see if he's actually having sex with Steve Rogers.
I can assure you, Natasha told him deadpan, they are definitely having sex in that lake house.
Yes, said Thompson, sounding knowing. But what else are they doing?
I suppose they might stop to eat once in a while, Natasha allowed.
Agent Romanoff,
Thompson said sternly, and Natasha mentally stabbed him through the face with the pen he was holding.
This raid is happening. We have everything lining up as we speak. This meeting is not to convince you to allow it.
That's lucky.
Fury leaned back, looking blank.
You weren't doing a very good job of it.
Captain America is a very well-known figure, with a lot of public support,
Thompson continued, ignoring them.
We can't allow this highly necessary action to create a rift between agencies. In order to show a united front, we are requisitioning one or more of the Avengers to help.
Fine,
Fury agreed.
You can have Natasha.
Natasha smiled her, I'll eat you, smile.
We were hoping for someone...
Thompson paused, trying to find a way to put it right in front of her.
Trustworthy?
Nick supplied. Thompson looked torn.
No, you weren't. Rogers is extremely well-liked and respected on his team. You get a trustworthy Avenger, and you don't have an asset. You have someone on Rogers' side behind your lines.
I'm the only one who's a big enough snake to actually follow orders on something like this, Natasha agreed. Maybe Stark, since he can't stand James.
Yes, get Iron Man on your team.
Fury agreed.
That won't go wrong at all. In fact, I will pay you. Let him complain to you about his imaginary friendship love triangle with Rogers. I love this idea.
Perhaps in a support role.
Thompson demurred nervously, shuffling papers.
What exactly is your plan here? Natasha asked, lifting up a shot of James pinning Steve to a wall with his hips to the light.
They were both in uniform. It must have been from before the dog incident. It was pretty hot, actually.
You've seen them fight, right? I'd suggest announcing yourself very loudly, then letting Rogers glare at you for a while as you search the house. He'll make you feel like shit, but you don't want James ripping the team's faces off by accident before you get a word out.
No action will be taken that allows them time or reason to destroy evidence,
Thompson told her, snippy. Natasha stared at him.
You're not going to just attack them, she said, stunned. That would be a bloodbath.
We will be using tranquilizers,
Thompson assured her.
No one wants the outcry that accidentally killing either man before a trial would start.
No, Natasha said, gaping. I mean you are all going to die.
Tranquilizers don't work on them,
Fury cut in.
It will only piss them off.
These come very highly recommended,
Thompson said, smug, and Natasha rolled her eyes.
Great.
Natasha dropped the photograph into her bag. James might like it. It was a good shot.
Let's use Richard's untested drugs when we jump a pair of super soldiers in a house secured by the Winter Soldier. They're going to think we're Hydra.
I change my mind. I'm super trustworthy, she told Fury. I don't want to live through everything else and then die from this.
Agent Romanoff,
Thompson snapped.
They are Hydra. Announcing ourselves only lets them know we know.
There are unemployed intelligence agents everywhere in this city, Natasha said, amazed. How did you get a job?
Romanoff, you and Stark are on this,
Fury told her, and Natasha pursed her mouth tightly.
He will provide surveillance gear and remote support. You will be on the scene in a management role. You can complain, but I'm not listening anymore.
Sure, boss, Natasha agreed coldly, standing up.
Thompson looked about as happy about it as she was.
If you don't want a bloodbath,
Fury told her, tilting his head to the door in clear dismissal.
Make sure it's not a bloodbath. You?
Peter Parker tumbled through the door as Thompson yanked it open. They all glared incredulously.
Where the fuck is my coffee?
Fury asked, recovering first. I couldn't very well get it while I was pressing my ear to your office door, Peter said peevishly.
Oh, for fuck's sake,
Fury swore, and kicked them all out. As it turned out, James had been thinking more with his dick than his defense brain. There was a cabin right across the lake from his, and it was empty. Natasha booked it and moved right in, easy peasy. He wouldn't be so engrossed with Steve that he wouldn't notice, though, so Natasha was being careful. Steve and James wouldn't hear most of the noises other vacationers made, but water carried sound. If they heard nothing from a cabin they knew was occupied, James would probably have his hackles raised, even if Steve didn't. So Natasha made a racket when she moved around the room, assembling equipment and plugging in wires. She kept the TV on, masking what she was doing, on the off chance one of them had better hearing than they let on. She made Peter stick to the ceiling and not touch anything the entire time.
This is bullshit, he hissed. You know it's bullshit.
This is what's happening, she breathed back, typing in a password and bringing up video feed from the telescoping lens. You do it or you get left behind while other people do it. Refusing doesn't stop anything, and someone else would only screw it up. The monitor flickered to a high-definition, crystal-clear view of a ceiling fan. She motioned for Peter to adjust it, and the camera swung drunkenly to a picture of the kitchen counter. After getting a perfect image of the flower bed, a half-rotten canoe, and the front grill of the rental Jeep, Natasha got up and set it herself. It wasn't hard, really. There were floor-to-ceiling windows throughout the entire house. James should have been more careful. Peter frowned at the screen behind her, hand moving up to rub his shoulder. This is a really bad idea, he mumbled, staring at the image as she focused the lens. Natasha frowned and headed back to the monitor. I don't think we should be watching this. Oh, no, she muttered. Are they having sex again? Still? Will I finally see one of the penises I have to hear about at least 3 times a day? She rounded the desk and shoved in front of Peter. It's not like they aren't practically having sex right in front of us when James gives Steve that stupid good luck kiss before every mission. Natasha trailed off. James and Steve were lying in bed, tangled together, completely nude. Nothing was happening. James's hands were loose between them, and Steve's were in James's hair. They looked like they were whispering, but even Stark's equipment wasn't picking it up. James's head was ducked and away from the window, but Steve's was open, joyous, emphatic. Natasha squinted at the screen, and Steve mouthed something she couldn't make out. Then, I love you, and brushed his fingers along James's jaw. They both looked relaxed and deliriously happy. It was the most intimate she had ever seen them, much more intimate than the endless raunchy anecdotes from James or the embarrassed admissions from Steve, definitely more intimate than the excessive PDA around their friends. Natasha didn't feel shame very often, and this wasn't an exception. Peter looked away, though, and she felt just the smallest urge to do the same.
I don't think we should be a part of this, Peter said, stepping back.
So go home, Natasha told him, exasperated. She clicked open the connection to send all the surveillance data to Tony, not looking forward to whatever stupid commentary he had. And keep your voice down. They probably won't hear you unless you yell, but... Peter glared at her, yanked the window open, and bellowed,
Gee, Natasha! It sure is awful that there's a secret government strike team ready to attack Captain Rogers right in the middle of his romantic getaway.
On the screen, James and Steve jerked away from each other and nearly fell off the bed.
God damn it, Parker!
Natasha slid the controls for the comms up and shouted, Tranks only, do not kill, to the team, which had started moving the moment Peter yelled. Natasha grabbed Peter's collar just as he shot that disgusting webbing at a tree and made to swing over the lake and join in. Her phone buzzed in her pocket, because, of course, everyone was calling right now to start shouting, and she ignored it to shift her grip. Peter tried to shake her off without much luck. He had strength on her, but she was better, and he was too squeamish about causing actual damage.
Don't you screw this up more than you already have, she growled, over the tinny audio of a super soldier brawl from the speakers.
It sounded like Steve and James had heard her, thankfully. No one was reported as dead yet.
You are staying right the fuck here.
This is wrong, Peter insisted, wriggling. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to step back and let other people do it.
I'm going to do the right thing and stop it from happening.
Peter finally yanked free and took off along the lake shore, swinging from tree to tree like Tarzan.
Damn it, Natasha swore, sprinting for the four-wheeler they'd come in on.
It didn't take long for the two of them to get around the dinky little lake to the other cabin, but then it didn't take very long for two super soldiers, even in the nude, to take down a couple of measly tack teams armed only with ineffective sedatives and batons. By the time Natasha had rushed through the broken window in the bedroom, seconds after Peter, Steve had just punched one of the two agents still upright in the face. The man bled copiously on the way down.
Natasha, Steve said,
his voice desperate, brushing a dart from his shoulder. The pinprick closed up as she watched.
Natasha, you let them drug Bucky.
Natasha was also not in the habit of defending herself, but it bubbled up out of her anyway.
I didn't let. You tested it last week, she whispered, careful to keep her face turned away from the camera.
It would still be trained directly on them.
You said Richard's stuff barely made you woozy.
Oh, shit, Steve said, turning back to James.
This is Richard's stuff?
Natasha, it didn't knock either of us out, but we've each been hit with a lot. Bucky more than me, and the side effects.
James dropped the last of his opponents to the ground, unconscious, and pulled a dart out of his neck. He glared at it and tossed it in the corner. Then he looked at Steve and growled, deep in his chest. Naked, he only looked bigger, which made no sense. Huge, knuckles bruised and scabbing over, a sheen of sweat covering him wherever blood didn't, and, well, it was not a reassuring sound, and Natasha and Peter started backing slowly away.
Buck?
Steve asked quietly, hands carefully held open, and his tone made Natasha freeze. Peter, not unused to possibly life-or-death situations, went still as well. Her phone buzzed, and she cursed the timing.
Buck?
Hey.
You,
James said lowly, but didn't finish, and Steve took a step forward. It was a mistake. James immediately ducked, twisted, and leapt, knocking Steve backwards and onto the bed, tumbling over it and onto the ground. It jolted a surprised yell out of Steve, and James easily rolled over to pin him. Peter jerked towards them, and Natasha grabbed him.
Bad idea, she whispered. If the drugs worked, but Captain Rogers is...
And then James Barnes slid his metal arm under Steve's naked hips, lifted them up to meet his without any apparent effort, and ground slickly against him, with a moan that was absolutely the most erotic thing Natasha had ever heard.
Baby,
James gasped, and licked Steve from chest to chin. Steve's eyes fluttered shut, a deep groan startled out of him. Natasha wrinkled her nose. Steve was covered in gross. That was disgusting.
Stevie, look at you. I am going to fuck you right through the wall.
Buck?
Steve managed, obviously trying extremely hard to be the responsible one. James wasn't making it easy, and Steve let out a squeak as James bit into his shoulder.
Bucky, we can't. We are literally lying next to a federal agent. We are... Oh.
His voice caught as James slid his metal hand between his legs.
We are... Buck, we're going to traumatize Spider-Man for life.
He's not traumatized,
James murmured against Steve's ear, his voice muffled.
I am so traumatized, Peter wailed. Then leave,
James groaned, but he let go. Steve immediately yanked the sheets off the bed and wrapped them around the two of them. Unfortunately, he wrapped the two of them together. James smirked and jerked the sheets tighter, pulling their hips flush. Steve went red.
No,
Steve said firmly, if at a higher pitch than usual, and James immediately lifted his hands and backed off.
Work. This is work. We don't do this at work.
We're in our bedroom, stark fucking naked, and even the church admits this is uninterrupted sex time.
James protested and started searching for his pants.
I even locked the fucking door. It's their own fault they barged in.
He hopped into his jeans and wriggled to pull them up.
I'm not out of line treating this like uninterrupted sex time.
I can't believe I need to say this to you, but new rule.
Steve huffed back, lifting up bodies one-handed like he was going through the laundry, hunting for his own clothes.
No matter the situation, when there are unconscious government agents and a minor present, it is automatically not uninterrupted sex time.
Bucky rolled his eyes like Steve was the biggest square ever.
Ugh, he whined. Fine.
I'm 17. Peter automatically started, then tried to bite off his own tongue.
Apparently, if I'm here, though, it's all green lights, Natasha murmured, and James leered, totally game.
If there are government agents, a minor, or Natasha present, no sex,
Steve clarified primly, and James sighed and flopped on his back onto the bed.
You're such a stiff,
James complained, and Steve snorted and pulled on his own jeans. They were both still shirtless and glistening. It was a good look on them, even if they were a little bruised.
A lot bruised.
Natasha frowned.
Are you guys okay?
Hmm? Asked Steve, buttoning his fly. James looked up from the bed, quizzical. Natasha paused. She glanced over at Peter, who was also obviously concerned. How badly did they knock you around before we got here?
These guys?
James asked, incredulously, shoving a black-clad heap with his foot.
They were like toddlers. The worst we have is aerated skin from all those fucking darts, and I split my knuckles on that guy's teeth.
Steve nodded, cocking his head at her.
It's just... Peter frowned. I'm just noticing this now, so... You're just...
James, you're turning purple, Natasha cut in. And James sat up suddenly, mouth agape, a vivid magenta blossoming on his cheeks.
Fuck! He cursed, grabbing a dart off the floor. Fuck, was this Richard's shit?
Buck, Steve said, placating. He was definitely taking on a bluish tint.
It wears off. You'll be fine. Anyway, Vision is pink and he doesn't mind. I got hit with like 17 of these, James shouted, pitching the dart back across the room. One dose took 3 days to clear up. Do you know how many people are going to take a purple Winter Soldier seriously, Steve? None. That is how many.
Call Stark, Steve told Natasha, rubbing his temples, and ask for medical to get these agents out of here and see what they can do about purple super soldiers. Natasha nodded and walked outside to give them some privacy, then pulled out her phone. Tony was already calling her, so she slid to answer and said, Send a medical team to our location and bring someone who might be able to figure out what was in Richard's drugs. Peter trailed after her, looking hollow-eyed and overwhelmed.
Natasha, turn off the surveillance equipment!
Tony shouted at her. Peter shot her a panicked look. She nodded, and he took off across the lake.
Spider-Man is on his way. Tell me.
Right, Tony said. Now that the equipment was being dealt with, he seemed hesitant to keep going.
Okay, so the upside of the situation is that it's not the first time for the team, and we have a lot of policies in place to deal with this now.
Tony?
So you know how I'm a massive idiot and do really impulsive things, especially when I'm being hounded by Uncle Sam?
Tony asked, sounding frantic.
Things like setting all the controls on the feeds to the least secure setting to make sure the real shit leaked before Agent Asshole could get his manufactured version?
You didn't, Natasha said, spinning to stare across the lake at the camera they still had on them.
I did, Tony admitted, sounding frantic. And I really wish you had picked up your phone, because I set the controls manually, and I am having a really hard time keeping the stills of Barnes licking a blood-streaked Captain America next to the bodies of their fallen enemies off the internet. I've completely given up on the dick pics.
I am going to kill you, Natasha told him mildly. I have a very specific plan. As soon as I get back to our cabin and slit Peter's throat, I'm going to head straight to your tower, and I'm going to strangle you with your own sunglasses.
Pepper will beat you to it. Tony replied miserably.
Natasha, James groaned, crunching over broken glass towards her and pulling a shirt over his livid purple chest.
Next time I say, I'm gonna propose, don't tell anyone, I mean it. You're allowed to tell people so they don't ambush us on our fucking honeymoon.
I certainly hope there isn't going to be a next time, Steve told him, following after, the gold band on his left ring finger showing up in vivid contrast to his deep violet skin.
I'm planning for this to last at least a few years before our big celebrity divorce.
What? Tony squawked.
Your what?
Okay, Pepper said, when everyone had been airlifted to New York, taken a lot of cold showers, and put on new clothes. Care had been taken on James's part to find something that went with screaming neon magenta, but Steve had unfortunately chosen a red Under Armour running shirt. Natasha tried not to look at him too long. So there's good news, and there is bad news.
Bad news first,
Steve said into his hands, his color going, if possible, even more eye-searing. The bad news is that several people have seen you in an intimate moment, and even more have seen you naked, Pepper told him. Steve cringed. And the doctors are saying your condition is likely to last at least a month.
The good news is that we don't have a purple people-eater sex tape because you didn't want to fuck with everyone there. So good job,
James told him cheerfully,
although we could still make one if you want. I think I'd rather just put another plane down into the ocean,
Steve decided. James patted his hair in sympathy, and Steve turned his face to hide against James's side. The other good news is that everyone is horrified that a still-secret agency attacked a pair of decorated veterans on their honeymoon and refuses to show any evidence to justify it, Pepper continued. Public support is almost unanimously on your side on this one. Knee-jerk legislation is being drafted that we actually want, and it's going to be very easy to pass.
Oh, great,
James said, careful to keep the ice in his gaze out of his voice. Steve didn't see it, face pressed into James's stomach, but everyone else did, and took a step back.
Glad to do our part for our country. Your dick pics are trending higher than mine,
Stark whined, petulant, and Pepper calmly stepped on his foot. Steve made a sad noise and dropped his face back into his hands. James slung an arm around Steve's shoulders, and Steve glanced up at him. James was suddenly all smiles, ice gone from his face like it had never been there.
His or mine?
James asked, and Steve groaned and covered his face again. Both, Natasha informed him, feeling vaguely proud of them.
Well,
James preened.
I admit, they are fucking fantastic. And hey, babe.
He bent down to rest his forehead against Steve's hair. Steve leaned into it.
At least now no one will ask you if the serum worked everywhere anymore. They'll already know.
Steve slanted him a glower over his fingertips.
No one has said that to me other than you, jerk.
James pulled back.
What, really?
He asked, incredulous.
But it's the perfect line.
It is the worst line, Steve told him, irritably.
I didn't let you touch me for 2 days after you used it. I mean,
James replied thoughtfully, ignoring him.
I guess my point still stands, since I've seen it too.
Wait, Peter said, apparently before his brain caught up with his mouth again. Did the serum change your... Friendly fire, Natasha warned him, as Steve looked up from his hands, bewildered and annoyed, and Peter snapped his mouth shut.
You're still my BFF, but I'm not speaking to you right now,
James said, as Natasha let herself into the office he'd commandeered a few days earlier. A week after the incident, James had come into work, still purple, and announced that Steve wouldn't be by for another fortnight, maybe longer, if the blurred-out picture of his junk still accosted him from every newspaper stand he passed on the way in. Fury had tried to argue, and when that failed, he tried to send James on a mission. James had stared at him, looked at his neon skin, and laughed. Then he threw the desk jockey out of the neighboring office and locked himself inside.
I'm allowing this because I respect your husband, and he's actually managed to make me feel bad about what little part I had in this whole fucking mess,
Nick had told him. James hadn't looked up.
But you're a sneaky asshole, and if this was just you, you'd be in handcuffs in the basement for refusing orders and insubordination fucking yesterday. What a coincidence,
James had replied, sunnily.
Turns out I was in handcuffs just yesterday. And when this is over,
Fury assured him, closing his eye and wincing,
I am locking you and Stark in a room, and you two can throw innuendo about Steve Rogers' bedroom activities at each other for once. Christ, maybe you'll eventually run out.
Then he left the room and refused to talk about it. No one knew what to do, so James was currently clocking in time sitting at someone else's desk, doing the crossword, and giving anyone but Peter the murder face until they left. I came to apologize, Natasha told him, pulling a newspaper out of her purse. This isn't your fault, and it's not my fault, but I screwed up, and I'm sorry. It won't happen again. James gave her his snake stare, but he didn't kick her out. She took it as a sign to continue. Natasha opened the newspaper and laid it on the desk between them. James glanced at it, frowning.
Oh, hey, another pixelated photo of my dick. Great. Why are you showing me this?
Because of what's further down the page, Natasha said, pointing. This is painful, embarrassing, and demeaning for the two of you, even though you're putting up a damn good front. But attacking a national icon on his honeymoon and releasing intimate pictures of him against his will scares people, because if someone would do it to Steve, they'll do it to anyone, which is potentially career-ending for anyone in a government job who has ever said a word against you in public. James flicked his eyes up at her, then back at the paper. I knew you were planning to propose, Natasha said. I knew they were going to interrupt your honeymoon. I let it happen, and I screwed it up, but I did it because of this.
Natalia, James breathed, still staring at the article. You got that asshole Chesterton fired.
Natasha nodded. He was the one still pushing for your trial.
I know who he is,
James snapped, then thawed slightly. This is
going to make Steve feel a lot better about things.
Natasha bit her lip. And you? She asked after a moment.
And me.
James agreed solemnly.
Shit. I'm still pissed as hell, but I don't want to strangle you with your own garrote anymore.
You couldn't take me, Natasha said breezily, closing her purse and tossing her hair. I'm working on criminal and civil lawsuits now, but he's not a danger anymore.
Thanks,
James said quietly.
This wasn't really your fault. I would have done the same thing.
It's not your fault either, Natasha told him, and left. A month later, Natasha was stuck on babysitting duty again. She was going to be having words with Fury later.
So spill,
Stark was saying in the other room, leaning forwards, reaching out to James imploringly. James looked like he was about to bite his hand off.
The tag team's batons. Did you borrow one? Be honest. We don't need the government's half-price, second-rate used batons,
James assured him, teeth bared in a smile.
You think we don't have batons of our own? I got plenty of batons. I use them for smacking the shit out of people who annoy me, like you. And then I have one that's specially designed not to pinch at the joints for...
Foul, Natasha said into the microphone, and both men jumped and glared at the two-way mirror separating her from their cement cell. No sharing details on exactly what happens to Steve in the bedroom.
For Steve to stick up my ass until I scream like a cat in heat,
James continued blithely. Smile lit up like a kid on Christmas.
If he twists it right, I come in my own face. It's fucking amazing. Then he makes me lick it off.
You win, Tony yelped, covering his ears and cringing away. That's disgusting.
Like you can talk,
James shot back, stretching out in his chair. Other than its twin, occupied by Tony, there was nothing else in the room.
There was shit I wouldn't let Steve do to me for months after I researched you and saw way too much of your Iron Man and what you were doing with it. I'm rich and everyone wants me,
Tony told him, prim.
That's different. Besides,
James carried on smoothly,
that's not even the kinky shit. Obviously, I can't lick it all off, right? So then Steve...
Natasha muted the speakers and massaged her temples. In the room in front of her, James was still talking, making an obscene gesture with his fingers and tongue that had Stark cringing. Natasha pulled out her laptop and started updating her fucking resume.
Are they still at it?
Steve asked her, closing the door behind him, big and sweet and human-colored again. Natasha looked up in relief.
You guys have been in here a while.
Should be finished up pretty soon, Natasha told him, moving over at the desk to make room. Steve spun the other chair around and sat on it backwards, like a nerd. I'm supposed to let them out when one of them starts crying, and James is going in for the kill. In the other room, James said something that made Tony cover his ears, then rolled his hips and made a lewd expression. Tony appeared to be singing as loudly as he could with his eyes tightly shut.
He knows Bucky's just making most of this up as he goes, right?
Steve leaned forward to watch them, a little smile on his face. James was in full swing now, and Tony was as red as his armor.
Even I'm not physically able to pull that one off.
It's hard to tell with Tony, Natasha admitted, shrugging. He has a weird sense of humor. I haven't entirely wrapped my head around it.
Well, Steve said doubtfully, as long as they're enjoying themselves.
Across the glass from them, James put a metal hand on his crotch and mimed something with his other that made even Natasha wince. After a moment, she said, you took the photos really hard. And Steve hummed.
Yeah,
Steve managed after a moment, not looking at her.
I did.
I am. She gestured to James. But this doesn't seem to bother you, she said, and it wasn't a question. Steve crossed his arms and rested his chin on them, still watching James. The pantomime was only getting more and more ludicrous. Natasha quit paying attention when it became clear James was pretending to fuck something back and forth into his dick. Tony was going to break any second.
It's different. Strangers looking at stuff you didn't want to share, that's not good.
Steve shrugged and leaned back, stuffing his hands in his pockets and kicking a heel against the leg of the chair.
Your husband bragging about how he can't keep his hands off you and what a rock star you are in the bedroom is nice.
He smiled.
It's nice.
Natasha kicked her feet up on the desk and stared. Did you seriously just aw shucks your way through admitting to an exhibitionism kink? While James tells your coworker you're big into sounding. Steve frowned.
I don't know what that means.
You like it when he shows you off, Natasha said, glossing over the second part.
Sure.
Steve grinned.
It's kind of embarrassing, and when it was messing up work stuff, that wasn't much fun. But now that we have it figured out...
Tony started pounding on the mirror while James looked on in triumph. Natasha pressed the button to unlock the doors, and then turned to Steve expectantly. He looked back, bemused.
Who exactly did you think the secluded cabin with floor-to-ceiling windows was for?
Right. Natasha watched James hip thrust into the air, arms up in joyous victory, as Tony fled the room. So, Steve Rogers, not quite as completely vanilla as expected. Steve shrugged again, clearly not following, but letting it go with all the equanimity a man with an eidetic memory and access to Google could muster. After a beat, she said, Maybe don't look up the sounding thing.
Okay,
Steve said agreeably, and wandered out to meet James. The end.